Good morning. We hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning and that your day is getting kicked off and that you're getting ready for church. And if this is your alarm clock, you still have time. He has not started his sermon yet. You can get to the house of God this Sunday morning. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and we are elders and pastors at the Electric City Baptist Church, located on 2350 Hamburg Street. Now, we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and we'd love for you to come be part of our gathering, worship Jesus with us, and hear about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. Now, this show, this radio show, is called Old Lion, Young Lion, and we exist as our responsibility to uncover truth from the Word of God and declare it boldly. The Bible says this, that the righteous are bold as lions. And we here at Old Lion, Young Lion want to be bold as lions. Also, we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we are but humble servants of that Jesus Christ. And we hope today that we'll be able to share something with you that will give you a new look at what God is doing in your life. Now, in 2024, we've had a new campaign running that if you send in a question or comment about a book that we're studying or a Bible question that you've had for many years, and it makes it on the show, you will receive one of this summer's hottest fashion items, an Old Lion, Young Lion t-shirt. And so here's the email address that you need to send your question or comment into, and we'll love to hear from you. Our email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear your thoughts or some questions about what you might have for us here on the show. Now, we've been having such a wonderful time going through books of the Bible, but before we jump into today's content, before we jump into today's conversation, before we jump into today's biblical viewpoint, biblical worldview, we want to adhere to our tradition here, and that is that every single show, we kind of kick it off with a word of prayer. Old Lion, would you mind just taking a moment and praying over this show, and maybe someone out there that's going through a rough time, can you add them into that prayer as well?
You bet. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today. We are going to get into the book of Philemon, one of the shortest books in the Bible. We've just come off Colossians, and we learned so much. And here, Paul was writing to an entire church. Now, today in Philemon, we're seeing Paul write to an individual in that same church. We're getting this little picture. And Lord, you are an awesome Father because you give us the big picture. You give us the zoom in, the zoom out as we have gone through this entire cosmic drama that is in your Word. Lord, I pray that as we go through these things today, that people would have their understanding enlightened. Father, I pray that when people hear the sound of our voice, in particularly the Word of God, I pray that those who hear the words that we speak, the Word of God, their hearts would be open. I pray, Father, that they would be full of joy as they hear these words of encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over you. We don't know where you're at in your stage of life or the walk that you've been on, but we pray that each step is a little bit closer to the God that created you. And the Bible teaches us that God is the creator who brings things that were not into things that are. And all things are possible with God. And so whatever you're walking through, we pray that this show brings you just one step a little bit closer to God. We're going to get into a new book today called the Book of Philemon. And there's a little bit kind of ramp up to this story. Before we even get into what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing in this book, you got to hear about this absolutely awesome story of the Apostle Paul. Now, you might not know that the Apostle Paul was a church planter. And what that means is he went around starting little congregations that honor and worship Jesus Christ. There might be a church building in your town. There might be a church gathering in your town, and that is a direct reflection of what the work of Paul the Apostle did 2,000 years ago. Now, this Apostle Paul, he wrote this book of Philemon, and it's one of four other books that he, or it's one of four total books that he wrote from a prison cell. Most of you maybe have never experienced being inside of a prison cell. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, wrote the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and also Philemon from a prison cell. But you have to know that this Apostle Paul has been on a massive adventure leading up to this point. What happens is this Paul, the one that we all kind of know about from the writing of these books of the New Testament, before he came to know Jesus Christ, he was an enemy of the Church of God. He arrested people who preached the Bible and taught the Bible. He would go into churches and take people bound and brought them into jail, and he had a life's mission of wanting to take down this new message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then one day on his journey, Jesus Christ comes and meets him on what we call the road to Damascus. And Jesus shows up and tells Paul directly, "Why are you kicking against my convictions in your heart?" He knocks Paul off his horse, and Paul falls to the ground. And Paul, that very moment, places his faith in Jesus Christ, and God starts a journey with the Apostle Paul that leads to one of the greatest movements that this earth has ever seen. And Paul goes on this journey. He meets some people who start to train him in the Word of God, who teach him about what the gospel is. He gets baptized. He has hands laid onto him. He receives the Holy Spirit, and he begins to learn what God has for him. Men start to teach this man, Paul, and then God says, "Why don't you come up here and speak with me?" And Paul even spends some time speaking directly with God. Paul continues on this journey, and his brothers of his nation reject the teaching that he has. Paul continues with ferocious attack, and his heart filled with love, goes and preaches this gospel where he is stoned. People throw rocks at him. He is thrown off cliffs. He is chased out of town. He is almost completely killed multiple times for what Paul is teaching the world. But Paul stands up and continues on. Paul then is placed under arrest, and he's put on a boat, and he's being sent to jail, and this boat completely wrecks. It crashes in a storm, and it crashes into 1,000 pieces, and Paul is shipwrecked. He's arrested. He's cast down. He's broken. He's hurt. He feels like all is demolished, but he's not done yet. Paul gets up and continues on preaching this truth about Jesus Christ. And finally, this Paul, who's been on many adventures, chased out of town, snuck out by men under the cover of night, so he won't get hurt. Paul continues to preach this gospel, and then he's arrested. And Paul finds himself inside this jail under house arrest, not allowed to go anywhere, not allowed to move about with his freedom, and he meets this specific character in jail. And that's where the book of Philemon comes in. I challenge you, on your own time, under your own merit, to go search out these missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul has been on. Go read the book of Acts, and go read the book of Ephesians, go read the book of Colossians, and find out what Paul went through that leads us up to this book of Philemon.
Yes, you can read the book of Philemon. It's only 25 verses. You can read it in about 30 seconds, and you can tell all your friends that you read an entire book of the Bible.
That's pretty good.
So, one thing I like about this, you just told the story of Paul, and Paul is one of the most famous, most effective characters in all of Christian history.
In the world.
And his achievements are unparalleled.
That's right.
Now, the Bible zooms into this other guy, Onesimus.
Yep.
Who does not have a grandiose story like Paul does.
No resume at all.
No resume. And yet, Onesimus has a story. He has a story of redemption, just like Paul has a story of redemption.
That's good.
Just like every single believer in Christ has a story. They were going one direction. God knocked them off their horse, and now they're going in a totally different direction, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single believer in Christ has this story. And so we're getting a zoom in on Onesimus. He may not be the great apostle. However, he was and did become a great believer, a great Christian. And Paul testifies to the transformation in Onesimus's life. And so maybe you could give us the story of Onesimus, what happened. These people in Philemon, they're all the same people that we read about last week in Colossians chapter 4.
That's right.
The same 12 people that were mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 are also mentioned in the book of Philemon, these same people. Now, this is a very personal look into their interactions, their relationships, and their daily lives.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that, what you said about redemption, because wherever you're at in your life, you may be in a position where all feels like it's lost. You're waiting for this day of redemption to come in your life. Or maybe you can recall back at a time in your life when the Lord Jesus found you and you need to have some of your redemption rekindled and get back on the track that God has for you. Whether your life is meant to be similar to the Apostle Paul or whether it's to be compared to this man Onesimus, God has a redemptive plan for every single one of you that's listening. So Paul finds himself in this prison cell right next to this guy named Onesimus, and we get to hear a little bit about this story in the book of Philemon. So let's read a little bit of this book, and let's just start out. We'll just read verse number one and kind of set the story, and then I want you to tell a little bit more, a little color for us, some stuff maybe that's not exactly mentioned that we know about this story, Sam, but let's read verse one and see how it kicks off. The Bible says this: Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto, or written unto, Philemon, our dearly beloved and our fellow laborer.
Paul, as he's in prison, he just finished the letter to the Colossian church, and now he's saying, hey, Philemon, you're an important guy to me. I love you very much. You're one of my fellow workers in the gospel. And it's interesting how Paul says he's talking to every single believer as being his fellow worker.
Right.
It's not just the people in positions of high authority. He considers every single believer in Christ to be his fellow worker because we're all called to make disciples, to go into all the world and make disciples, teaching everyone to obey those things that Jesus Christ commanded.
That's so good. There, number one, there's no laziness in the kingdom of God. And number two, there's nobody that is a child of God that's in the kingdom of God, translated into the kingdom of his dear son, that is not valuable. So Paul is writing this letter to this man, this fellow laborer named Philemon. Here's what he says. Let's go to verse 4. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. What a wonderful thing to be said about you, that the Apostle Paul spends daily time praying for you.
Wow. Amazing.
Do you spend time daily praying for anyone in your life? Verse 5. He says, I've heard of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints.
That's a 1-2 punch.
It's a 1-2 punch.
You can't just say, I love God, but I really hate people.
Ooh.
Or you can't say, boy, I'm really generous and I love people, but I really don't want anything to do with God.
Yeah, you heard this one? Oh, I'm a Jesus person, but I'm not a church person.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
If you love the creator, you love the creature.
I totally agree with you. And I think that that's something that needs to be kind of adjusted in the world. And yeah, we got hypocrites that come to the church. We got people that say lies. We got people that have some things that are wrong. But if your mindset is, I love Jesus and I don't like the church, you are in direct opposition to the Apostle Paul. Here's what happens. Let's keep reading in verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting word, communication. What's your thought there?
That's a great word, communication. The word in the Greek is koinonia, and it means an intimate fellowship, an intimate participation in this spiritual life that we have. Paul is saying, I pray that as you guys come together and you intimately share not only the things that you're learning in the Bible, not only the struggles that you're going through in your lives, not only the triumphs that God is leading you through, you share these things together with people that you're day in, day out walking with. Paul is praying that that fellowship that they have would become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing. So when we share our lives with other believers and we see how God is working with other Christians, it helps us understand fully who God is and how he works.
And I think in today's day and age, that type of fellowship, communion, or relationship that you can have with fellow believers, every single human being on earth is in need of that. And we all know it. We all know that deep down inside, we would love to have a deeper connection with those people that are around us. And we've all found seasons in our life where we look back and say, I just went day after day clocking into work and clocking back out of work so that I can go to sleep and get ready to go to work again. That is not the life that the Creator intended for us to have. And Paul is recognizing that, that not only do you have love for Jesus, but you have love for all the saints, and your fellowship of the faith that you have is building one another up. So, okay, verse 7, here he says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee." Then he calls him this wonderful thing, brother, showing this wonderful unity in the spirit that Paul has with his brother Philemon.
That's fantastic. Getting back to the specific story of Onesimus here.
Yeah.
Onesimus was a slave.
Right.
Onesimus was Philemon's slave. Here's Philemon. He's a Christian. He's running a household. He's probably a fairly wealthy guy. He's got a servant. And Onesimus was not a believer in Christ. He decides he is not happy with this situation. He actually runs away from Philemon. Onesimus runs away. He gets and this is Colossae. This is hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And he winds up in Rome where Paul is.
Right.
Here's Paul, a prisoner in Rome. This guy, Onesimus, just comes in. Maybe he got picked up for shoplifting. Who knows why he wound up in prison with Paul? But he meets Paul, and this story unfolds. Paul finds out that he was a slave of this guy, Philemon. And he says, "Oh, I know Philemon."
And as would it be normally part of Paul's life, I love this part. This guy that interacts with Paul, Paul preaches the gospel to him, and this guy gets saved. This guy places his faith in Jesus while Paul is in prison. Think about all the roads that you've been on in your life and how God has directed your paths. And this story about Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul, that somehow Onesimus leaves his house where he was a slave, runs into Paul, who ends up in jail, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ, gets saved, and now Paul is going to have him carry this letter back to Philemon.
It's a crazy, crazy story. First of all, here's Onesimus. He has had a transformation in his life.
Right.
So you mentioned the term getting saved. And that means somebody, for the first time in their heart, they have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe right. in his death to pay the price for their sins, his burial, and his resurrection 3 days later. And so when a person has come to that place of faith and they declare Jesus Christ to be their Lord, that is what Anthony's talking about here in terms of becoming saved. And this happened to Onesimus. He had that transforming moment in his life where he placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he was a different guy. Everything changed. The whole color of his world changed.
Right.
And nobody can explain this. Nobody can kind of put this experience into words, but this is an experience that Anthony's had. This is an experience that I've had. This is an experience that every single person at our church and all the other Christians that we know in the other churches around the region have all had this amazing experience where the lights came on. We were in darkness. We were living this sort of way. All of a sudden, the lights came on. We saw Jesus for the first time, and now he transformed us, and now we're living in this other way.
I love that. And when Jesus preaches this gospel, he doesn't just create a new person. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He doesn't just make you into a new person, but he also has created a new people. So not only does Onesimus get to be transferred into the kingdom of God himself, but he also gains this brotherhood of fellow believers that love God and now love him. And what does Paul do? He immediately, after teaching Onesimus about Jesus Christ, then sticks up for him and gets his back and writes this letter to his former master and says, "Onesimus at one point was unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable to you and to me because he is a fellow brother in the faith." So Paul, after immediately leading him to know who Jesus is, gets his back and says, "You're now a new person. Welcome to this new community of brothers. I got your back."
Amazing. And as well, Paul is saying to Onesimus, is saying, "Hey, this is one thing that Christian people do. This is one thing that believers do. We do the right thing."
We do the right thing.
All the time.
All the time. That's right.
So he's saying to Onesimus, I know you left your master under shady circumstances. You somehow wound up in jail here. Listen, as a believer in Christ, here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to do the right thing. So he sends Onesimus back to Philemon.
Right.
Which Onesimus probably has a little bit of fear.
Hesitancy.
Yeah, fear in his heart saying, I'm probably going to get beat.
Maybe.
I owe this guy a bunch of money, sure. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay it. Sure. I don't know how this is going to work out.
Right.
And so Paul sends this letter back with him and says, hey, I want you to understand, Philemon, that Onesimus is a new person. He says in verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he indeed is useful to you and to me. And Paul is doing a little play on words there because the name Onesimus means useful.
Right.
In the Greek, the name Onesimus means useful. And so Paul's using a little play on words saying, hey, Philemon, in the past, Onesimus was useless to you, but now he's useful both to you and to me. Everything's new. Everything's different.
Well, and I like what happens with Paul. He also is giving instruction to Onesimus, but then he implores Philemon to receive him. He tells Philemon that you need to retain this man who maybe you have an issue with, or maybe you've had some breaking in fellowship in your agreement with, and I want you to receive him. And then verse 14, I think, is so important. I think verse 14 in this book of Philemon is one of the more important passages. And read verse 14, and then I want you to tell all the listeners out here, what is Paul getting at, and where's a biblical and godly principle that can be derived from verse 14 that maybe all of us can kind of add to our lives on a daily basis.
Okay, I'm going to read verse 14 here. It says, but I, here's Paul saying, I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Paul is telling Philemon, hey, you know, I have the authority. He's an apostle of Christ. I have the authority to say, hey, I want you to receive back Onesimus. He could have even told Philemon to set Onesimus free.
Right.
He could have told him anything.
Could have made many demands.
Right. And yet he doesn't make any demands.
Huh.
He says, because I don't want your goodness, Philemon, to come from compulsion or being forced to do something. I want it to be of your own accord. If we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know what? Your offering to God is not acceptable if it's done begrudgingly.
Right.
So if you think, I'm going to give to charity, I'm going to give to this cause, but you're really mad about it and you're giving it grudgingly, you've made your offering to God unacceptable. He loves a cheerful giver. He wants the good things that you do in your life not to be forced on you. He wants the good things that you do in your life to come from a heart of love for Him. This is the essence of what God is trying to do with the believer in Christ. This is why I could go on and on about this, but just suffice it to say, this is the reason that all of us have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because people who have been forgiven for the evil that they've done, these are the ones that love God freely from their heart. They're never going to turn back. They're never going to go anywhere else. They're so thankful for having been forgiven for their misdeeds that they have this heart of love both toward God and toward other people that can't be stopped.
Well, it's good, but the world kind of has... They have an opposition view to this, that you're going to be compulsed, that you're going to be, that you need to be forced to be good.
Well, we are dealing with this in our present day and have been for the last couple hundred years.
It feels
There's
that
been
way.
A geopolitical movement. We don't like to get too political on this
sure.
show, but there has been in the world.
Oh, we call out evil here.
Absolutely. There's been a geopolitical movement in the world ever since about 1850. When Karl Marx came out with his Communist Manifesto.
That's right.
All of a sudden, almost all of the governments throughout the entire world are operating under the principles of Marxism. And the basis of Marxism is this. We don't want anybody to fail. The government's going to take care of everybody. In order to do that, they make it by compulsion. They say, hey, everything that you earn, everything that you produce, everything that you make belongs to the government, and we're going to distribute it so that the outcome is that everybody has the same things and has the same amounts. And so this has been sold to the world as this noble and
virtuous
thing, as if the ultimate goodness is that everybody winds up with the same size pile of money. And this is the, I'm going to call it the lie of Marxism.
Well, it's almost Antichrist.
It is Antichrist, because when you say that everybody's going to have the same result, what you're doing by guaranteeing equality of outcome, or equity, as they like to call it today, is that you are preventing anyone from achieving. You're preventing anyone from doing something out of the goodness of their own heart. So when you take it from them before they even have a chance to give it to somebody, you've robbed them
right.
of the ability to be truly charitable and do something good out of their own heart. And so this is one of the many, many reasons why this Marxist ideology, this philosophy of Marxism, is evil, and it has infected our entire world.
And this is on full display in the book of Philemon. You have characters, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You have Philemon, this leader of a church, this wealthy leader of a church. You have Onesimus, this prisoner, runaway slave. This is different categories of people from all kinds of different stations in life. And what Paul wants them to do is to obey the one true God willingly, without compulsion. He wants them to decide, not by religious order, not by apostolic demand, but by their love for Jesus Christ and their love for what God has forgiven them, to operate how God would have them operate. So much so that in verse 21, Paul says this, I have confidence in your obedience as I write unto thee, knowing that thou would do even more than what I'm asking you to do. So Paul says, I'm not going to demand anything from you. I want you to, by the love of Jesus, operate in obedience. And I know that if I allow God's Holy Spirit to move your heart, you'll do even more than what's even asked of you. If you look at what's happening in the legal, in the governmental, in the geopolitical world of how people are to be compulsed what to do, people try to do as little as they can. They want to do just enough so that they can keep the man off their back. But in this particular case, Paul is saying, I want you to go over and above all that you can even imagine for this particular case because of what God has done for you. This minor book, this small prison epistle, is packed with so much truth. It has a character for every context in life. It gives absolute biblical bombshell truth packaged in just 25 verses. He ends the book with this, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit. Amen. And we pray that very same thing for you. Now, we are not a show that's demanding that we talk about political commentary or what's going on in the sports world. We are not a show that wants to give you social commentary or tell you what's going on in the fashion industry or anything like that. What we are is a show that digs deep into the scripture and then, as boldly as we can, proclaim truth from this ancient script that God inspired and you absolutely need. We hope that you continue on this journey with us. We hope that you read the book of Philemon and you stick with Old Lion, Young Lion as we preach the truth of God's word.
We'll see you in church.